This episode is brought to you by Berry Bisop, a refreshing West African spiced hibiscus tea.
This week on Meat and Three, it's the final episode of our series on global trade. We're thinking futuristically, from China's ambitious plans for a new Silk Road to the future of borders and automation.
If you're a banana, you know, it's easy to cross the border. But if you're a person who's trying to follow the jobs, it's a lot more difficult, if not impossible, to do so in an authorized and safe fashion.
They love food trucks and they love growing your own food because these things are not dependent on essentially government systems. So there's a whole politics to pretzels on the dark web.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with another episode of Take Two, where we go back to previous guests, chat with them about what they've been up to since we last spoke. And this week, I'm thrilled to have back on the show Naoyo. Well, should I call you Naoyo Kote? Kumoji. Naoyo Kumoji. Welcome back.
Thank you, y'all.
So last time we spoke, we were both in Accra. And it's like how times have changed.
Immensely.
Since then. So for those who are listening and will want to reference Naoyo's episode, it's episode 4. So Naoyo was one of the very first people who took the experimental jump to try to do this podcast thing. And I did not think that I would still be here 3 years later. I have a special place in my heart for people who were like, I don't know what it is you're doing, but let me jump on the train with you. So last time we spoke, we mainly focused on your blogging, right? So your work you did as a food blogger, photography, mm-hmm. all of that. So what has changed since then? What's new since we last spoke?
A lot of things have happened, you know. It's just crazy. I think that was what, 3 years ago, right?
Almost 3 years ago, yeah.
Almost 3 years ago, yes. So, I was still blogging, you know. Along the way, you know, I started working more with some brands. So that was, you know, growing my influence in food content creation for brands. And so that was going on for a bit. But, you know, I think along the way, I was like, you know, it was becoming a struggle, especially with, you know, when you're a food influencer or you're an influencer and, you know, getting brands to actually pay and stuff like that's like...
Especially in Ghana,
it's like, oh, by a food blogger, like, do you know the amount of work that actually goes into, you know, creating, especially developing recipes, you know? Then I actually went into pop-ups. So, you know, I decided to, you know, have a try at pop-ups because a lot of my readers were like, oh, when are we going to actually try some of your food? And they look so good. The pictures are amazing. Like, we want to try your food. When are you opening? Don't you have a restaurant? Do you have a restaurant? Like, I'm like, no, I don't. You know, so I think I did my first pop-up at the Garden and Flower Show. I'm like, you know, let me see how this goes. So I think my first pop-up, I decided to sell traditional Ghanaian local drinks. So like the Asana and the Ngweda. That was all I had at my stand. And I, you know, went to the market, got this huge calabash gourds, and, you know, set up my stand there. And I was literally the only person, you know, at the whole event, you know, with that setup, with that drinks setup. And people are like, oh, wow, like, you know, they didn't know, like, you know, I could actually set up a stand like that. So I would say I was actually one of the very first people actually having, you know, now it's a thing, you know, at most events, but like, you know, having that whole calabash and selling asana is like, people really enjoy that experience. And I actually wanted to also tell the story around Meda. So Meda, which is still the corn drink, and it's more associated with the Ga people, you know, and I felt like too many people knew asana and not enough of them knew about Meda. So I had that as well.
Oh, there's a difference, right?
Yeah, there is a difference.
That's right, yeah.
The distillery process is slightly different. The taste is definitely different. You know, asana is lighter, Meda is heavier. You know, the corn is much richer than as compared to asana. You know, so I got the opportunity to talk with people who came to the stand to, you know, I got the opportunity to share the differences with them, you know, and they really, you know, love to know more, you know. So the next pop-up was, I think a few months later. And that one, I was like, you know, I'm making, I did chicken wings and clay oven roasted pork with fried yam. So as you know, like, you know, I've always been about, you know, telling our stories, you know, giving people the food experiences around, you know, what is traditional and what is still being used in terms of our local cooking techniques or cooking elements. So the pork that I sold during that pop-up was roasted in the clay oven. So this has...
Question for you. Sorry to interrupt, but you keep using clay, you keep having clay oven. So do you have a clay oven at home?
So I'm actually building one.
Okay. I mean,
you spoiled the surprise, but yeah.
No, wait. So even before, okay. So, but then when you say clay oven before, were you going somewhere to use a clay oven or?
For the pop-ups?
Yeah, for the pop-ups.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so in, there's this woman who, I actually featured them on my blog. They've been roasting pork in that clay oven like, a century, because she took over from her mom, who is 80 plus, and her mom has been doing it since she was a child. You guess it? So it's like a third generational family business, and they've used the same clay oven. Like, yeah, it's
wow. I will share the link. I'll find it on your blog and share the link, because that's so interesting to me.
Yes. And I remember when I featured them, the post went viral. And so many people contacted them. And the pork, the flavor from that oven is just insane. You can't guess it from anything else, you know. So I decided to bring this pork to this pop-up, you know, have people try it. And like, everyone like who tried it, like, hey, the pork is amazing, you know. And you know, that really got me to realize that, you know, there's actually a business opportunity around this if you do it right, you know. So yeah, a few pop-ups down the line, and I did a ramen pop-up, which was entirely successful, which I didn't expect at all. And someone would ask, why ramen? Like, why?
That's a good question. I always ask myself that. So I see your ramen post and I'm like, oh my God, that looks amazing. Yeah. And I am a huge fan of ramen. So that looks absolutely amazing. And then I always wonder, like, why ramen for her?
Yeah. So my story with ramen is, you know, a few travel experiences, especially in London and in New York, you know, and I got to try ramen for the first time and I loved it so much. And I came home, I'm like, there's no ramen. I was talking with anyone like, how come there's no ramen in Ghana? You know, and he's like, but you can make some. I'm like, I make some like her. It's like, just try your hand and make some, you know, but use her flavors, you know. I'm like, well, true. Like, I could actually make my own broth, but I would use flavors and spices that we are used to as Ghanaians, you know.
Oh, I see.
So that's, you know, was more of a fusion, which is also, you know, part of, you know, my storytelling, like cooking different meals, you know, using global flavors and, you know, textures and all that. So you know, basically creating a broth using our local flavors and spices, you know, which the Ghanaian is used to. So that, you know, was more like a fusion of the Chinese, Japanese ramen, you know, with our
local flavors. Yeah, I can imagine like a pepper soup base even from a Nigerian perspective.
So the broth is very reminiscent of our local flavor. So I tend to use like fresh herbs, basil, you know, rosemary, etc., and the huintes, you know, all these local spices that we are used to in our soups and our stews. Mm-hmm. So when you try the broth, it's so flavorful. Like, it's so super, super flavorful. And I added a few elements that, you know, is part of our food culture as Ghanaians, which is the Nkosiyani Meko, the egg, the popular street food that we all know. So that, for me, like, kind of uplifted, you know, the ramen, you know, to another level of, you know, spiciness and flavor, you know, because the tamago or the egg that we know on the ramen doesn't have any pepper, but adding our pepper to it, which is also really spicy, boosts the broth flavor like immensely. So yeah, that was really, really interesting. The first pop-up was sold out. The food got finished. You know, the second one too was like well attended, and yeah, we ran out again, you know. And then I got pregnant. I got pregnant, so.
And that changes everything.
I tell you, it's like, and you're like, like, hey, so when this baby comes, what next, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was when the whole topic of maybe I should open a restaurant came up with Adam.
So in terms of the restaurant, like, what is the concept? Is it just local food? Are you doing both, you know, your fusion and local food? What is the food concept?
It's global fusion and also farm to table. Like, what I've done is to partner with small-scale family-owned farms, and I source directly my bok choy, my tomatoes, my onions, my habaneros, my cucumbers. I source directly from, you know, local farmers, you know, to support them.
To support you.
Yeah, also to tell their story. So they are very much part of my story, you know, and I, as much as possible, you know, promote them on social media, you know, and people are always like also looking for fresh vegetables, you know, or, you know, fresh vegetables to also buy from. And like, honestly, like I've been seriously overwhelmed by like the amazingness of, you know, sourcing fresh, because, you know, the vegetables really keeps longer, you know. It really keeps longer, and having that partnership with them also, you know, we get to actually talk and share ideas. So they're always asking me like, do I need something in like bulk? Do I need to buy? Do I need a certain type of vegetable they can grow for me? You know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's really amazing. You know, and they're always willing to like have a portion of land just to grow what I want.
You need. Oh, wow. That's interesting. And I think that that's a good way that we can support local farmers, too, just in terms of, I had a conversation last week for a podcast episode that's going to air later. And we were talking about, supply and demand in terms of what we need to have our farmers grow so that people can go back to eating the grains like millet and sorghum and fonio, etc. And so it's that relationship or connection, right? So if people ask for it, they will make room for it. But if all we're going to eat is like white rice or imported rice even, and corn, then so it's a matter of supporting them so that they can also in turn support the food. It's a cycle, right? An interesting cycle. That's interesting. And so in terms of like opening the restaurant, so because you opened it last, let's tell people the name of the restaurant. We keep saying restaurant. Let's tell people the name of the restaurant, where it is in Accra. It's in Accra, Ghana.
It is officially opened June 25th, two days before my birthday. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Better? Okay. Right, so it is officially opened June 25th last year. So it's almost a year. We are not a year old yet. We are 6 months. And we opened in the middle of the pandemic.
So what did that mean for you in terms of like the vision you had versus what actually happened? Because I haven't been in, well, I was planning to be in Ghana, but because of COVID, I wasn't able to go. Mm-hmm. But from what I see, the way COVID is being lived in Ghana is completely different than my expectation of what it should be. So I don't know if it's impacted your business as much or change your plans or no?
Yeah, it's actually impacted us. Initially, my plan was to open in March.
Okay. Oh, right when the pandemic.
Yeah,
was.
A little before, yes, because I had already paid my rent, and in November, and I was working on the interiors and stuff, and then we went into the lockdown. So, and you know, the lockdown also came with the shutting down of spaces like restaurants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I was literally stuck in a limbo, like, what am I going to do now? Like, and I have rent going, you know.
So for people in Ghana that don't, well, I don't know if that's the same with commercial, but rent is typically paid in advance.
So you're paying a whole year advance. So, you know, it's like now you're home because nobody is going anywhere. So then I decided that, you know, I think the dispatch riders or the delivery companies were actually working then. They were allowed to work. So it's like a lot of businesses had to shift or like shift to digital platforms or online delivery services because everybody was home, and when they needed products, etc., it's the delivery companies that were doing that. So then I'm like, you know what, let me just start making some from home and delivering, you know. And it was a bit okay for some time until the restrictions were eased a bit for restaurants, but then it wasn't for in dining. Like, yeah, there is the restrictions, but we could only do deliveries, you know, for some time. So yeah, I mean, initially it was really slow. I mean, I got to finish my interior sort of, and I had to reduce the number of tables in there because of, you know, social distancing.
Yeah, and all that.
This episode is brought to you by Berry Bisop. Bisop is a refreshing West African spiced hibiscus tea. Berry Bisop honors and preserves the traditional recipe while adding their own twist – Berry Bisop teas are fused with organic fruit. They're all natural, caffeine-free, ethically sourced, and free from artificial coloring or any other chemicals. As for taste, they're chilled and refreshing with a hint of both sweetness and tartness. Drink them alone or mix them with seltzer or cocktails. Learn more at berrybisop.com. That's Berry, B-I-S-S-A-P.com.
What was your experience with the delivery? Because I imagine that that could be challenging too, in terms of, because I'm sure you know that I'm also opening a restaurant, and as we think about delivery as an option, for me, I kind of, like, obviously we have to do it as a business decision. You ultimately have to do it at some point if you want, you know, to grow your business. But the fact that you are relying on somebody else after you've carefully prepared your food, packaged it in a way that you expect the customer to receive it, and then now you're relying on a third party whose main objective is to get there as fast as possible so they can go on to their next thing. I wonder what your experience has been in terms of managing that, because then when the customer gets the food, they're going to assume that the condition in which they got it was for you. They're not going to go online and say, this dispatch rider. They're going to go online and say, I got this rubbish food from Macy's, right? So how have you, I don't know if that's been a problem for you, and how have you managed it?
It's a major, major problem in Ghana. Like, whether you're a restaurant or whether you're an office that you need deliveries done for you, it's irrespective of what you want delivered. But the delivery system in Ghana has a lot of work that has to be done. Like, the problems are major. And for the food, that is even, like, extremely, because, like you're saying, someone is expecting their food to come to them in a certain state. And when they don't have it that way, they immediately, you know, lash out, or they'll just not order from you again, and you lose a customer immediately, you know. And initially it was hell. I will not kid you. Like, because the first delivery service I worked with, like, they were either late, and when they picked up.
There's that too, the timing.
The timing, not picking up early. And then when they finally arrived, delivering, it's like, one, they are not using Google Maps to locate the customer. So it's a matter of calling the customer, where are you? Okay, I'm coming. Meanwhile, he's not even nowhere near the customer. And then they get rude. Some of them get annoyed, and then they just are just rude to the customer, or the customer is trying to reach the dispatch and then he refuses to pick. Yeah, those were some of the challenges initially.
Yeah.
You know, or the ride out gets there and the food is totally messed up, and yeah, you are calling him, he's just refusing to pick up, or he turns his phone off, and then yes, you've lost, you know, some customers because of that experience. But over time, you know,
that's unfortunate. But now you're back. But now you're back open, right?
Yeah. Uber, as you know, also had this new feature, Uber Connect. That was for delivery of packages. So that was a new feature that they had during the lockdown. And we have used it, and we still use it a lot to do our deliveries, especially for customers who are very particular about, you know, how their food is delivered to them. So for safety, you know, purposes, you know, using Uber Connect is way much better than using a dispatch.
You can track it too, right?
Exactly, you can track it. But you can't compare the speed to a dispatch.
Because they're in cars.
Yes, they're in cars. And sometimes the cost of an Uber definitely will be much higher than a dispatch, you know, because most dispatch services are charging, like, probably a single rate for within Accra. If it's within Accra, maybe 15 cities or 10 cities.
And then Uber depends on the distance.
So it's all a matter of communication and telling customers, you know, if you want your food, you know, blah blah blah, and you know, to come at a good time, we use Uber, but this is how much it's going to cost. Are you willing to accept the charges? They're like, okay, yeah, it's fine. Okay, then we just use Uber. some people don't want to pay for the extra. They're like, they'll wait for the dispatch to pick up and bring. Like, okay, you'll not come early. Oh, it's fine. Okay, no problem. Yeah. Because for me, it's like, as long as you communicate with a customer and they are okay with it, that helps with my pressure. I don't want my BP going up, like, you know, as over communication. Just tell them what it is. If they're okay with it, then fine. We are all on the same page. You get it?
Yeah. And that, I mean, I think even with all aspects of the business, right, whether it's on-premise dining or takeout or delivery, like that communication piece is important in terms of the experience. So we're in a new year. What are your plans for the restaurant as, well, from what I understand, COVID is becoming, you know, it's having its second or third wave in Ghana at the moment. We're in like mid-January right now. So I don't know what you're anticipating in terms of government lockdowns, etc. But for now, assuming all things being equal, what are the plans that you have that you're open to sharing with people as you look towards the new year?
Well, I'm really excited for the new year. But like you're saying, there's a second and third wave. Not only that, that's not like my only worry, but currently a lot of things have changed or are changing because of global events. So, for example, there was a ban on importation of on chicken feed from, you know, certain countries.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes. And that has affected the local supply of chicken feed and bran in Ghana, which has led to a shortage. And those who produce these feeds or these maize and wheat byproducts that's used for chicken feed and pig feed as well, has led to like an increase. All these suppliers have increased the price of feed. So which has led to an increase in eggs and chicken and pork as well, you know. So now we have like people increasing the price of eggs. Now a crate of eggs is like 30 cedis, which is so ridiculous. Like,
crate of eggs, wow.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, last year, January, a crate of eggs was like 20 cedis. Now it's like double the price of.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And then when you try to pass it on.
Yes. And now it's like, exactly. So, unfortunately, like a lot of things, even today, I tried to buy chicken back and the price too has gone up. Why? It's because there's bird flu in Europe. So now, so now the supply of by the box, because we import it into Ghana now, it's a lot of factories have closed down apparently. So now there's a shortage in supply of. So all these little things have led to an increase in prices of, you know, ingredients that we need. So, you know, it's going to affect, you know, prices of, you know, our meals or some of our meals where we use these ingredients a lot. But I'm excited. I'm excited for, it's challenging, but I'm, you know, I think we'll be moving to a much bigger place.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
In the same area? Because right now you're in East Legon, right?
Yes, we currently are located in East Legon. But we'll be moving to Osu.
Nice.
Yeah, to a much bigger space. Because some days we get so full, it's like, now it's like getting chairs and extra tables becomes a challenge, you know. And we had to, you know, use less tables because of social distancing. And,
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is. It is a good problem to have. So, just excited for the new year. We'll have like a new menu. And I said I was building a clay oven. So, yes, I'm building one.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You're very exciting.
Like, even now I'm looking for it. I'm really hoping I can make it to Ghana this year. Let's see how
it goes. Yeah.
This COVID treats us. But that sounds really promising.
Yes, yes. Because now I have a bigger space to try different things. So, and give people a better, much better, exciting culinary experience.
Mm.
Yes. So,
for sure. So,
yeah. Honestly, because of how things went with the pandemic, you know, for some of us, like, we've been on social media like for the longest time, and we believe strongly in social media marketing. So for us, it was just a matter of constantly pushing content, you know, whilst others were scrambling to create more or trying to,
start.
So the support that, you know, some have given me is, you know, coming over, even just creating YouTube videos of our space and interviewing me was like very good support, you know, because their audience also gets to know who we are and stuff like that. So that was really incredible. Like, I had friends like Ivy Prosper, Nana Asante coming over. We had some food bloggers that, you know, passed by, and their followers, you know, instantly started also ordering ramen from us and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I would really appreciate anyone who wants to follow us on AssisGram. So it's AssisGram on Instagram. Follow us, share our stuff, you know. It's also great support, because some of us, we are like strong believers in keywords and sharing. So
yeah,
of course. I mean, if you're in Ghana and you want amazing ramen, we have been reviewed about, we have about 30 reviews on Google My Business, and everybody loves, we have like amazing positive reviews about our ramen. So if ever you're in Ghana and you need like amazing, unforgettable ramen, look us up. You want a different meal experience, you know. We are also well known for our beef shepherd's pie, which has, you know, very warm Mediterranean spices and flavors, you know. And yeah. I mean, our menu is really unique and very different from other restaurants. We don't do fufu. We don't do bangku.
We wouldn't even start talking about fufu. I feel like we moved from the jollof wars to the fufu wars.
But we do have jollof, though. But our jollof is actually dawa dawa jollof.
Oh, nice.
Yes, because I also felt like people in the South are not appreciative so much of northern flavors, you know. So often people are like, dawa dawa jollof, what's that? Like, wait till you try it. Like, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's really, really delicious. Yeah. Yeah. This is fun. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's exactly. Exactly. So you just call us wherever we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I'm very excited about that. Yes. Of course. It's been quite well. I mean, she's a toddler now. She's almost almost 20. Oh, she's 20 months tomorrow, I think. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been quite an interesting learning experience because initially I was like, oh, I couldn't wait to introduce her to all, you know, these, you know, new exciting recipes. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Like, but Charlie, it's like it's like every child is different. It's like, you know, for me, my mom was like, oh, I love my Tom Brown. The minute I eat my Tom Brown, I pass out. I'll sleep. Oh, like, you know, so when it was, she was like 6 months and I started introducing, so I did the whole cocoa thing, the corn porridge, which has been strained. You know, it's not like how we take it. So there's, for a toddler, you have to strain it so it's a bit lighter and easier on their tummies. She loved it, you know, but then she grew tired of it. So that's where variety comes in, you know. And, you know, so I tried her with poton poto, which is the, the cocoyam, the boiled and mashed cocoyam in light soup. She didn't quite like it, you know. I tried different things. I tried, of course, the mashed apple banana. She seemed to really enjoy the fruits and avocado. Avocado was like a hit, you know. You know, so I don't know, I always got excited when, you know, she ate up all her fruits and veggies more than her carbs.
That's,
you know,
good.
So it's, and I later realized, like, you know, these were actually things I also took in a lot when I was pregnant. So if you're out there,
oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So if you want to win your baby, or you want your child to eat their greens, make sure you eat your greens when you're pregnant. You know, yes, because it's they're literally eating what you're eating. You know.
Yeah, I suppose.
I had a lot of coconut water, and I can tell you, like, right now she loves coconut water. You know, I try as much as possible not to give her like soft drinks and stuff like that. Like, if she wants something to drink, is coconut water, you know. And so from that, before, like, we launched into like the rice porridges, the other cereals, so Tom Brown, she didn't quite like it so much. But there's this food startup called Impampa, and she does this amazing yellow corn porridge. It's a product, but so you have to cook it to make the porridge. But yellow corn is amazing. It's way more flavorful than white corn porridge.
White corn,
yes. And it's something we used to have when we were kids, but
There's so much.
I don't know if you remember. Yes.
I remember.
You remember, the time when they said there was hunger in Ghana, like.
Yes, exactly.
And then somewhere along the line, someone decided to use it to feed chickens and goats and all the poultry and all the livestock, and then
it just kind of
fizzled out. But thankfully, it's coming back now. It's coming back now. So she loves it. But teething also is a major hurdle for anyone who is weaning their child, because it's really uncomfortable and painful for them. So maybe you start them off on one particular meal and they're enjoying it, but then all of a sudden it's like they don't want any food at all. Like, what's wrong? but it's because they are teething, you know. So
I see.
But then, yeah. So once you are through that phase, as for the teething, there's like on and off. Today they are eating, tomorrow they're not eating. You know, once they are through that phase, you realize they'll eat almost anything. But then, of course, you have to watch out for allergies and stuff. But yeah, it's really been quite a new experience, of course. Trying her with, you know, yam. She loves her fried yam. Trying her with the soups. She loves granite soup, palm nut soup, but with rice, you know. She quite doesn't like kinky. I don't know. I'm like, gang girl like you, and you don't like gang kinky. What's up with that? You know? Yeah.
Give her time.
I'm giving her some small time. Like, I'll bring it back again. So, yeah. Can you imagine? Anyway, so, yeah. But it's really exciting, like, once you are through the hurdles of teething and all that.
Yeah. I was just curious because you always see, because typically, you know, like traditionally you have people pass on, you know, your grandma will pass on to your mom who passes on to you. Mm-hmm. But as more people move and spread around and all of that, that tradition is not as strong anymore. And so more new moms are relying on, you know, the internet and social, and a lot of the content you find is around Western diets. And so I was just curious what you were doing in terms of
I think now it's because now we have more imported veggies and fruits, unlike previously that, you know, they were insanely expensive and hard to get. But now, like, literally apple is like everywhere. You know, grapes is everywhere. You know, it didn't used to be like that. So I think now people want to try different things, you know. And I think, you know, trying the different textures is good, you know. It makes a child, you know, have a stronger palate or a more adventurous palate. So, you know, yes, definitely give them the traditional, but do a mix. If you don't contemporate today, try spinach, you know, try broccoli, you know, try
in the spirit of fusion,
yes,
in the spirit of AC's fusion.
Try different things,
Good stuff. No, so this has been great. Thank you. It was great to catch up with you. I know it's pretty late in Ghana, so I appreciate you taking the time. The time difference can be tough sometimes between the West Coast and Ghana. So I appreciate you coming back on.
Yes, I really appreciate it. And well done. You've done an amazing job.
Thank you for listening to Item 13, an African food podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. To keep up to date, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Item 13 Podcast. Item 13 is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.